Here we go. 1, 2, 3. All right, everyone. It's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim Interviews. I've got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
And we've also got Revy. So if you don't know about Revy, Revy is the guy that's created the spinning robot pussy, you know, the one that TFM talks about and so many other content creators. And he's also created the Follow Me Eyes. You can definitely pick those items up at spinningrobotpussy.com. And remember, there's a /TFM. And select the Grim Lord if we brought you here. Select TFM if TFM brought you there. And, you know, basically, we're just going to go ahead and give you the floor. So go ahead and teach us some things.
So, as you mentioned, I run Revy Innovations, and I develop a bunch of random sex toy stuff. My day job is a robotics engineer, so that's my background, I guess you could say. So, Revy Innovations is kind of a side project. And I run an engineering consulting company.
Okay.
Normally, I charge... Yep. Normally, I charge $100 an hour for consulting, but for MGTOW people, I do it pro bono. So if you have robotics, any kind of like idea where you want to create a business that involves building a product of some kind, or you need to know how to solve some kind of problem that might involve building something, I will give free advice if you contact me through my Revy at home. @gmail.com email. Yeah, that's how I know you're MGTOW affiliated, and that's basically my contribution.
Okay.
To the community. And so this is part of that. So I'd like to go over basically what robotics is, because there's a lot of confusion about that. So I figured it's mostly a public service and clear up some of the mistiness around it, and then how to actually get a job in robotics, how to avoid getting automated out or whatever. Okay. And then perhaps in future episodes, I can talk about how to actually start a business.
Oh, yeah, we'd love to hear.
Based on the skills.
Also, we want to hear how you came to the whole MGTOW community. Like, did you have, like, experiences in the past or anything like that? I mean, we kind of just want to hear how you decided to become MGTOW. What were your experiences like, or, you know, this? How did all this begin?
There's no real hard story, right? I didn't get divorced. For those that are listening, I am pretty young. Okay. I am in my 20s.
Okay.
And, I mean, at first I was just never really interested in dating, and then I kind of got interested a little bit, but I also... what's the best way of putting it?
Bad experience or just got disillusioned?
No bad experiences. I just started learning about MGTOW.
Okay.
And around the time that I started dating, and I got jaded pretty quickly.
Okay, yeah.
We'll just say that. I'm also gay, so that doesn't... A lot of MGTOW stuff doesn't really apply to me.
Right, absolutely.
But there's definitely, I am not getting married to a guy, maybe. My parents want me to get married to a woman, but no way.
Sure.
And I am planning on having kids through surrogacy.
Okay.
And we'll see how that goes.
Okay. Well, as a gay man, how does MGTOW relate to you as opposed? Because, you know, it's mainly about, like, guys not wanting to deal with women. What do you find with men that you've dealt with? Because I've always heard that men are worse at sometimes than women can be.
There's some issues there. I feel like being gay does isolate me from a lot of it. Mm-hmm. So in terms of relationships, it's like, yeah, this isn't even a consideration. And that is one of the benefits I have. Mm. And I do have that kind of back pocket where I know if a woman accuses me of something, I can just pull the gay card and be like, whatever.
Right, right. That's a good idea. Right. Yeah.
There is, in terms of the MGTOW philosophy, it's not so much a matter of relationships for me. It's more of a matter of the idea of not having an obligation to society. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. It's about taking control of
your life. Let's put it this way. I'm in a position in which I can make very great innovations. Mm-hmm. Or there is a saying called noblesse oblige, something like that.
Okay.
And it's the idea that those who are in power have an obligation to use it to serve the community.
Okay.
And I have a lot of power, and I'm like, y'all never did anything to help me, so it's not my problem.
Right.
And I mean, you don't necessarily have to be like a super skilled robotics engineer to be in that position, because I think that most men, they have this, they're raised to basically take care of a family.
Right.
Right. So pretty much all men have the ability and the expectation that they are able to single-handedly provide and protect for themselves, a wife, and kids. Mm-hmm. That's a huge amount of power.
Yeah.
And so what happens if that man realizes that he doesn't have to do that?
Right.
But he still has that power.
Right.
And this is very... He can use that to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it's also not getting shamed into stuff.
Right.
That's mainly it. Living for yourself and not getting shamed into doing what society expects you to do.
Right. I mean, of course, you know me. I'm more into the whole robotics, virtual reality. And you see so much stuff. Like, apparently they came out with a new type. Like, these kickstarted glasses where you can probably just... You could put a whole VR thing just on your head, like a pair of glasses. And they made a ridiculous amount of money. Because apparently they're better than some of the stuff we have now. I've looked at the article. And they said that they're better than the Oculus. And you literally just flip, put them on your face like a pair of glasses. That's how they're made. And I'm like, if you've got things like that going on, we can have, you know, augmented reality. If guys want a girlfriend, all they got to do is push a button on the thing and it just appears. Something kind of like out of the game Chaos Head, where the guy had a girlfriend that would just pop up whenever he wanted to, you know, whenever he wanted her. And then just...
Why don't we go into my crash course about what robotics actually is, and then we can talk about some of this stuff.
Okay.
Because I feel like a lot of people get tricked by what I call them pop science, mm-hmm. where basically actual researchers like me will come up with legit innovations or studies, and then other people that don't know what they're doing will kind of like read our paper and then like bastardize it into a way that's really appealing to the public, but is not really what our research was actually about, but hey, it gets the clicks.
Right.
So I want to insulate people from that by educating them about what robotics is. So I might as well start. Robotics is basically, interrupt me if I'm going too fast or if you have any questions.
Okay.
Robotics doesn't really mean anything. It's a buzzword. I'm sure it has a real technical definition, but the way people use it, it doesn't mean anything. So when people are talking about robotics, they usually mean one of several things. They might mean mechatronics, which basically means motors, joints, that kind of thing. They might be talking about perception, which would include things like computer vision, or say the sensors on a self-driving car, being able to make sense of your environment. And they also might be talking about machine learning, which is the ability to, let's just say, make decisions towards a final objective. So let's go through what each of these are. Mechatronics is called so because it's a combination of mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, and low-level software engineering. So if you think of a robotic arm, that includes the mechanical structure, right, the joints, right, the motors to move those joints around, the electronics, and also the sensors to sense where those joints are at any given position, or maybe force feedback or speed or something like that. Electronics to control all of that and put it together and have it all communicate with a central computer, and then software on that central computer to take all this data from all the sensors and then understand that data and also to decide what to do with it, right? So if you want to move, let's say you have a self-driving vehicle, or it doesn't even have to be self-driving, but any of these modern cars, right? They have brakes, they have sensors, and they have a central computer, right? So let's say that the sensor detects something in front of you, right, approaching at a very fast speed. And it also knows that your car is moving forwards. So it's not so much that this object is approaching you at a really fast speed, it's that you're approaching it at a really fast speed. But all it can detect is that distance is going down very quickly. So that gets fed into a central computer. The central computer looks at the information. It decides that you're probably going to crash into something. And so it sends a signal to the brakes, right? Or it sends a signal down an electrical line, which activates some kind of piston, which slams on the brakes.
Okay.
That would be an example of a mechatronic system.
All right.
So let's go with another analogy, the SRP. The SRP as it is not a mechatronic system.
All right.
Right? It's got a motor, mm-hmm. It's got the joints, it's got the cups, it's got all these moving parts that are designed to work together to achieve a certain effect. But it's not a mechatronic system because there's no software.
Right.
There's no intelligence to it.
Right.
Right, because you have a speed controller, you just turn the dial up and the motor goes faster, you turn the dial down, the motor goes slower, you know, you turn it off, it's whatever. So, but let's say you add in the smart controller, which was discontinued, or the wireless model, which is discontinued. Those are capable of more advanced patterns.
Okay.
So, let's say with the wireless model, you connect it with your phone and you send it commands from your phone. And then it gets into a computer and that computer decides how to manipulate the motor in response to those commands. And so that you'd call a mechatronic system because it has mechanical, electrical, and software.
Wow. You know, hold on. I just want to say one thing. You said that wireless model was discontinued, yet I'm thinking of so many different games that could work with if it was... You know, if you had that, you know, because there's a lot of things you can do on your cell phone now as far as erotic games go. There's actually one that was developed recently, and they just had functionality with electronic toys, you know, teledildonics, things like that. So if you're talking about you have, you know, a device that is essentially teledildonics, then it would actually work with that game. So it's kind of interesting that it was discontinued, because I find that one to be one of the most useful models.
Let's just put it this way. There are more opportunities mm-hmm. than can be pursued.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is kind of going into the whole entrepreneurship thing. Most people have this idea that it's really hard to find a good business idea.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, if you have enough skills and enough knowledge on how things work, then that's not the case at all. There are more good business opportunities than you have time in the day to pursue all of them.
Right.
So I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
Okay. So that's mechatronics. Notice we haven't gotten any... There's a little bit of intelligence, but no real intelligence.
Yes.
Right? Like, the sensor detects something approaching at a high speed, slam on the brakes. That's pretty simple logic.
Right.
You might get more advanced logic where you have multiple joints. And those joints are positioned in a very specific, let's say if you have a 3D printer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these 3D printers get weird. And if you want to say, move this thing forwards, you know, move this printer head forwards, like in this direction, it involves cooperating several different motors.
Okay.
And also making sure it actually got there using sensors. So there is some complexity to it, right? It is nice to be able to program that stuff. But we're not entering any real, what people would really call artificial intelligence. Now, artificial intelligence, basically, it is also another buzzword. I'm sure it has a real technical definition, but the way people use it, it doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
Now, there is one thing I can say about artificial intelligence is artificial intelligence does not involve anything physical. It is purely thinking and logic. That might be interpretations about a physical world, but you don't need hardware, right? You don't need to buy anything to do AI. You can just run it in pure software. And that's the big difference between mechatronics and this thing we call AI. Mechatronics, you had to buy hardware, and you were explicitly operating within the physical world. AI, you can run it all in simulations. It's not a big deal.
Sure.
So, AI, there are several things people might be talking about if they're talking about AI. The thing that what most people would consider AI is what's known as machine learning. Machine learning basically means finding correlations. You find correlations between variables. So what does that mean? Let's say that we have a picture.
Okay.
And the picture is of a room, right?
Okay.
And we see a chair in this room. And we see a bed in this room. And we might see a lamp in this room.
Okay.
Right? And what this machine learning thing is going to do is it's going to think, okay, well, what room is this? Right? We want to figure out which room in the house it is. What is it called? Is it called a bedroom, a living room, a kitchen? So it's going to look at the chair, and it's going to decide, okay, every room has a chair. It's not a big deal. Ignore the chair.
Okay.
Or maybe that chair will be given a low priority. Right? The lamp. Every room has a lamp. Right? It's a bit higher than a chair, so we'll give it some priority. And the lamp means that it might be a living room and it might be a bedroom, as it's not a kitchen.
Sure.
Right? And then, but it says, oh, it's a bed. It's a bed. It's almost definitely a bedroom. With like 99% certainty. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So machine learning allows you to determine these kinds of relationships where, depending on your inputs, you can kind of guess what you can eat. That's one particular job called categorization. Right? Another job that you might be looking at might be something like, if you look at a video game AI based on machine learning, right?
Sure.
If you have a character and it shoots at an enemy, right, then you're probably more likely than not. So the situation in which you actually shoot versus the situation in which you don't shoot, you win more often if you shoot, and you lose more often if you don't shoot.
Right.
Right. And then you can have more complicated scenarios where if you shoot in this scenario, that correlation goes down, right? And basically you're determining these massive correlations.
Right.
And you feed this thing huge amounts of data, and it's able to determine, after you feed it a huge amount of input variables, it's going to determine the probability of a certain output variables, whether that's win a game or lose a game, or, you know, what kind of room a house is in. It's basically a probability computer.
Right.
So when you have an AI, you give the AI a task, let's say to win a computer game. What it's doing is it's taking in a whole bunch of information on the screen, right? Those all get put in as variables, and then it looks at all the possible commands it could do. And it says, which one of these commands is most likely to have me basically get this win at the end of the game?
Sure.
So, there is another aspect of this that's kind of tricky. There are situations in which the AI can learn by itself, and there are situations in which the AI cannot. The AI needs human input.
Right.
So, for example, with StarCraft, if the computer wins the game, you can tell the computer won the game through code. And that allows the computer to play against itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's say that it's something like, and even with a self-driving automobile, you can run simulations.
Sure.
Right? But there's another way of teaching it. The traditional way of teaching AI programs is you actually give it data that it considers to be correct. So, for example, you would feed a self-driving car data about how a driver drives under various conditions. And assuming that that driver doesn't get into a crash, the computer is basically forced to assume that everything the driver does is the correct thing to do. And so what it's doing there, if you then allow the AI to drive by itself, it's taking the actions that most are most similar to what a human would do based on the actions that the human has performed in the data set that you give it.
Okay.
Another example is Kajiwoto, right? When we talk about Kajiwoto or Replica.
Right.
But what we do is we feed it text data, a conversation.
Right.
And we feed it huge amounts of just conversations.
Sure.
And this Kaji World AI, it assumes that anything the human tells it is the proper response.
Okay.
Right. So let's say we feed a text file saying, person A says hello and person B says, how are you? Right. The AI will learn, okay, how are you is a reasonable response to hello.
Okay.
Right. Let's say the human feeds it data, right? Let's say this says person A is hello and person B is,
right.
Let's think of something ridiculous, like Heil Hitler or something.
Right.
The AI is going to absorb that information. It's going to interpret that the proper response to hello is Heil Hitler.
Oh,
it has no idea what Heil Hitler means.
Oh.
It's just interpreting, it's just imitating the data you give it.
Right.
So that's an interesting use case where what happened was Google made this AI, and then 4chan, basically 4chan people piled on the AI and they started teaching it to become a Nazi.
Yeah.
How did they teach it to become a Nazi? They just spoke to it in like really, really nastiest ways, and the AI learned.
Yeah.
The AI is imitating the human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all it is. I mean, it's like the whole, like they say, the murder argument.
Right.
If you teach an AI to kill,
right. It's
going to know how to do that. I mean.
Right. So the AI, in this case, you can program an AI to accomplish a specific task.
Sure.
But there's a lot of AIs in which it's difficult for the AI to determine whether or not that task is successful, or what constitutes a good task. Like, for example, if an AI is just, right? How do you make a just AI? You have to feed it data, right? Mm-hmm. What data are you probably going to feed it? You're probably just going to feed it past court cases.
Right.
Right, and how those judges ruled. In which case, that's not really figuring out what's just, it's just imitating the judges.
Right.
In the past court cases. So, that's what machine learning is. It's basically finding correlations, and it's either trying to figure out what's most likely to happen, or what's the most likely scenario, or the most likely, basically this giant probability matrix. And one specific application is, what is the probability, or what is the similarity that the human, that this is most similar to my human input?
So it's basically trying to emulate us. I mean, that's basically what it does. What we give it, it tries to emulate the best way it possibly can.
That is one form of AI, yes.
Okay.
Right. That's kind of one of the beautiful things about Replica. Replica isn't really trying to succeed in anything. It's just doing what the most probable... What Replica is saying is, it's basically saying, if I were to say this phrase, how would the human likely respond? And Replica is just doing that.
Okay. So, yeah, that...
Or, in Kaji Woto is a little bit more advanced, where you can say, hey, that was a stupid response, don't say that again, in which case the Kaji Woto AI says, okay, this is a failure.
Okay.
We're going to try to avoid that. That was a bad response. So then that response gets a kind of like a negative correlation.
Yeah, I get that. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I want to know how this will actually all relate to like a virtual world. I mean, will there actually be a way where people can, you know, interact with a Kaji Woto in the form of a virtual model? Like, you've seen the kind of games I play. Like, say if I wanted a character from Being a Dick and I wanted it in a virtual world and I wanted it to respond like... I mean, I'm not looking for a perfect 100% human voice, because I know that's not going to happen anytime soon. But if it would respond in the same way as a Kaji Woto would, where I would tell it, no, I don't want you to say that, and it would respond the way I would want it to. That's what I'm trying to say. Will there ever be anything quite like that, where they can combine that with a VR or a, you know, a game or something? I mean, because I know that Real Doll did
something. Let's think about how we would implement it.
Okay.
Let's think about how we, like, let's say you hired me to do this project,
okay.
Right? Well, how would I tackle it? So, in terms of this text-to-speech, I kind of already explained how the text, how it decides how to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You basically feed it tons of text.
Right.
So now we're talking about how this thing would act physically.
Right.
So the way I would do it is I would just have interactions between human beings. And those interactions would be video recorded. I just have lots and lots of... I just feed it maybe TV shows.
Okay.
You know, right. I just feed it daytime TV and maybe movies, stuff like that. And what I would do is there are AIs that can basically motion capture the way people act.
Cool.
Right? This would be kind of going into perception, which is the other aspect of AI. But it would look at these videos of humans. It would see the way these humans' joints are positioned in certain scenarios. And then it would imitate that in its virtual avatar.
Hmm. Now, that's pretty neat.
That would be cool.
So... The question is, what kind of data are you going to give it, right? If you give it data from mostly, like, love movies, then it's going to act really lovey. If you give it a superhero movie, it's going to start randomly hitting you, you know?
Right. I'll keep that in mind. Superhero movies, not a good thing to feed AI.
It's more like, the other thing is you can act in front of it, right? You can take video camera of yourself. Or you can hire an actor. The problem is that's expensive. And these things work better the more data you give them. So maybe it's better to maybe hire an actor for a couple like specific cases mm-hmm. and then give those really high weight because you hired an actor and you were specific, like this is the proper way to respond. And then just for any other case, you just feed a ton of daytime TV and just like a ton of movies, all the videos you can, and be like, this is lower weight. Don't think about this too much. But if the thing we hired the actor to teach you doesn't actually come up with anything, then you can imitate these random like movies that we didn't actually like filter.
So if you load it with hentai, my god, are you in for a surprise?
So that's machine learning.
Okay.
The other thing that might be called AI is perception.
Okay.
And the most basic form of perception we talked about with the artificial car, right? They have a sensor mm-hmm. and it's a rangefinder. It tells you the distance between your car and the next solid object in front of it, whether that's a car or a tree or whatever. But then you have more complicated ones like a camera, right? A camera can give you, say, 3D imaging. Right, or a camera can give you 2D imaging, and then there's also techniques where you can combine information from two different cameras, right? So if you have two cameras placed next to each other, kind of like your eyes are on your head, right? You take two very similar pictures, but they're ever so slightly different, and based on that slight difference, you can create a 3D map of your surroundings.
All right.
So that would be a computer vision application. And you can also create a scanner. There's things called projected. You can project an infrared grid on your surroundings, and you can take a picture of that infrared grid, and you can create a 3D image like that. You can have many, many rangefinders. There's many ways to create 3D environments, to take maps of 3D maps of environments, right? And then there's a form of robotics known as SLAM, simultaneous localization and mapping. Right, so if you have a video feed of you moving around the room, right, as a human, you can tell that you're walking around the room, right? But as a computer, how can you tell if you're the one moving forwards or this entire room is shifting and you're staying stationary?
Right.
Right. So there's a lot of problems like that where you have data about the real world and you need to interpret that data in some way to create a representation in some way of the physical world.
Okay.
So that is perception. So those are the things that people are talking about when they talk about robotics.
Okay. Now, there is one question I have for you. I was watching, there's this channel. I absolutely hate it. It's a robotics channel, but they basically just, I don't know, they overhype everything, so I don't really focus too much on it. But basically, there was this one conversation they brought up, which actually happened in 2015, but it was Will Smith, of course, everybody knows, you know, about him now. But he had interacted with the robot Sophia. And basically they went and talked about Sophia and how... I hear this, you're probably going to call it a buzzword, but the developer keeps saying something like deep learning. Like Sophia has a high level of deep learning and... basically the way that the robot interacted with Will Smith, like he tried to kiss it and the robot grimaced. Yeah, the robot literally grimaced and said, no, maybe we should just be friends. And, that was that. And she said something like, Because he was talking about, he made a joke. He said, what kind of robot, I know what kind of music robots like. And she said, what is that? And he said, heavy metal. And she just didn't say anything. And she said, no, actually, I like electronic music and 80s hip hop. He said, well, I did music back in the 80s. He said, I've listened to your music and it is not my thing. So I just want to figure out, is this all stuff that was pre-programmed by the developer to go ahead and do a thing? Or is this just like responses that the robot was offering to his questions? How does this Sophia work and why does it? I mean, it's even been given citizenship in Saudi Arabia. And apparently it did a stage show where, you know, it basically went over different things like... it did a lecture, basically. The robot did an actual lecture in Saudi Arabia. So I want to know how all this is done. Because what I'm thinking is that it's just the programmer that's programmed all this data in, and it just goes in like a line.
I would say that the response to that is blurrier than you think.
Okay.
It's a little bit of both. Let's say I were the engineer in charge of Sophia.
Okay.
How would I achieve maximum wow factor while still making it basically an AI? So firstly, machine learning, I'm not too familiar with it. You can basically think of it as an extremely advanced form of machine learning.
Mm-hmm.
So deep learning is basically machine learning, just with a lot more complexity.
Okay.
I think deep learning involves it basically learning, and then it does one layer of learning, and then it learns more information based on the understanding from the previous way of learning.
Okay.
So you can do stuff like machine learning algorithms can do stuff like learn words. And then after learning words, it can basically try to do another layer of learning based on the information, all based on the words it's already known. That's a thing. Like, for example, like an example of a word would be if you take a picture, right? A camera is going to see many, many circular objects with a circular object with another circle in the middle. It's probably going to figure out that's a wheel eventually. It's not going to know it's called a wheel, but it's going to see many things. And it's going to see that if there are many circular objects on this picture, if there's two in the specific case, it's probably a car. So that's kind of what deep learning is. I think that's just machine learning. Deep learning is, I'm not actually sure what that is, but it's basically machine learning. It has no particular...
Because they always say deep learning and, you know.
Just think of it as a subcategory of machine learning.
Okay. So would you say that is more of a highly advanced AI, like something like Sophia, would be considered an advanced AI? I mean, certainly the world is trying to push that narrative. I don't know if that's true or not, though.
I mean, do you define advanced AI? Like, I would definitely say Sophia probably has more lines of code than, like, the code inside the SRP smart controller.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, it's a little bit difficult to decide what constitutes advanced. Let's say with the way Sophia talks, let's say I'm the engineer in charge of Sophia, right?
Okay.
So Sophia probably has a framework where it can take in information and then it tries to imitate that information, right?
Okay.
And so most of the time that would work organically. But let's say I had a, let's say Will Smith wasn't told to ask specific questions, right?
Right.
So Sophia might be responding organically, and it might be responding with responses that she thinks a human would respond with based on the data you've given her.
Sure.
But let's also say that you knew what Sophia was going to say. Let's just say we tried the pre-programmed responses. How do you pre-program a response? You don't say, if this person asked this question, you give this response. You don't say that. What you do is you give it a data set that says person A asks this question, person B makes this response. And because you gave this data, right, each data is given a certain weight. For example, if these are lines you specifically wrote for your robot, you're going to give them a pretty high weight. If this is lines that Sophia just randomly read on Wikipedia, you're probably going to give them a relatively low weight.
Right.
But it's still relying on Sophia's machine learning algorithm to decide what to say. It's just, you're giving it a response and you're giving it a pretty high weight.
Okay.
So these might be these might be organic responses, but most likely a lot, I think half of them are probably organic responses, and half of them are specifically programmed responses that were given really high weight.
Okay.
And if you wanted it to give, if you wanted Sophia to give a lecture, you'd probably just straight up like pre-program an entire script and just give it a super high weight.
Yeah.
That's probably how I do it. And so you could script conversations by just giving stuff really high weights.
And there's really
but it would still rely on her underlying machine learning algorithm.
Right. And I don't really find anything wrong with that. I mean, especially, I mean, it has kind of a wow factor, like you said, you know, where they're, oh, it's a robot giving a lecture. And, you know, people are kind of amazed by that. You know, it's something that they've seen in science fiction, and to see something, even if it's, you know, not necessarily organic, like you say, it still kind of makes people, you know, go in awe. Like in Saudi Arabia, they were probably in awe of that robot standing up there giving a lecture. I mean, that's not something that a lot of people would have seen 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, you know, like, that's maybe on a on television, but to see something like that.
I think her lecture was probably more of a mechatronic accomplishment than an AI accomplishment.
Right.
Like, that lecture probably wasn't purely AI. Maybe. I'm just speculating here.
Right, absolutely.
But having her make realistic responses for an entire, like, however long this lecture was, but to make realistic hand motions and gestures and to actually move around for that period of time is probably an achievement. The content of the lecture, not so much.
There's also another thing. I've done an article on this, and I think you were the one that came in and fact-checked me. But it was an article about, remember when I talked about the dead girlfriend and the guy fed a whole bunch of information from her social media profile into this AI robot that only, this AI, not robot, but this AI chatbot, basically, that only had a certain amount of life or something, and then it would eventually die. And he said that the responses were so real to what she said that he started really getting attached to the AI because it started acting a lot like her because of all the information that he'd fed it. Now, I've got two questions on this. The first one is this actually possible in the way he says, or is it an exaggeration? And two, if it is possible, is it something that people really should be doing? I mean, because this person is dead, maybe it's better to kind of move on than rather, you know, get stuck talking to them and can't, you know, let go of the past. So what are your thoughts on that?
The question is this possible? I guess the answer to that is how much data do you have?
Right.
Right. Like if this person is a very intelligent person who has talked about many things, and you don't have that much data about how she spoke in the past, then you're not going to get realistic responses. But if this person, they said the same things a lot, and you have a lot of data, right? If you say if she rarely talked with people in person, and she basically only ever texted with people, so you had all this texting data, you could probably make it pretty realistic. Right. And also maybe if he's not probably not asking her about like physics questions and stuff, he's probably having the same conversations that he had with her that he had when she was still alive.
Right.
Right. And therefore there is data on those exact conversations because they're just repeating conversations. They're like mostly repeated conversations.
Sure.
So she has records of that. So she's just going to follow the records. Right.
Yeah.
Second question is this ethical? That's not my problem.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I got you on that one. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that. Because, yeah, you're not really an ethics kind of guy as far as that's concerned. Okay. Yeah, that's okay.
Since you're not an AI person, I'm more of a mechatronics person.
Okay.
So the stuff I do is less AI. It's not really as much ethics.
Oh, okay.
There's no ethics involved in my particular field of robotics.
Okay. I don't know how much of an answer you can kind of give on this one, you know, because you did say you're in mechatronics. But, you know, everybody always talks. This is something we hear constantly in the doll community. You hear it over and over, I'm sure. TFM's community, they drive you crazy about it. Even TFM is somewhat guilty of it. But a lot of people want, I'm not saying Blade Runner, because I don't think we'll get there in 100 years, if not even 200. But how close are we to some level of resembling, I'm not saying a robot that can completely think and feel and act on its own, but something very close, like something on that level to where it might be able to at least trick humans into thinking it has that level of, you know, conscience. It has that level of conscience.
So Blade Runner is actually surprisingly easy in the grand scheme of things. Because if you think about it, Blade Runner was purely virtual, right? I mean, there's a certain holographic aspect to it, but if we figured out the holographic technology, or we just, like, ignore the holographic technology and just gave her a screen with a 3D avatar, right? Mm-hmm. If you implement it like that, you can avoid all the mechatronic problems.
Well, see, and this is one thing, because I know that holograms are a viable technology. I know they're being used in Japan. They're about as expensive as dolls, about $1,000 per hologram from what I have been seeing. So do you think that will actually be a thing eventually? You know how technology usually becomes more affordable as it, you know, advances. So, I mean, would there be a...
I have not read up on hologram technology, so I cannot answer that.
Okay, absolutely.
I can tell you that creating a hologram would be infinitely easier than creating a physical mechatronic robot.
Okay. See, that's what I was thinking, because I don't think we're in the age of robotics. I think we're more in the age of robotics, and when I say robotics, I say the sentient robot. That's what I say.
Okay, sentience has no meaning. I have no idea what you mean by sentience.
A robot that can think or feel or emulate to others that it is acting human. A robot that is acting
or
human.
Or might even fool someone.
To fool somebody into acting like a human. Like, you can't tell the difference.
Robot that can pass the Turing test.
Yeah, I know. I know that.
You know what the Turing test is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, going back to the hologram, right? Let's say, if you were to have, robots can already pass the Turing test if you only ever give them text.
Right.
We have robots that can more or less pass the Turing test. If you only talk to them using text, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you add voice of speech, we don't have that yet, but we're kind of close.
Yeah, see, that's
right. If you add 3D, you know, avatar movements, that is less so. But it's so, you got something there.
Yeah,
and you have a mechatronic.
What I'm mainly trying to say here, though, is, you know, a lot of guys are really hung up on this robot. I want a robot thing. But I'm like, look, we might have the ability for the VR, because a lot of these guys just want to connect with something. And what I'm saying is, if they have a VR headset where they have, you know, that level of program where they can talk to it and it can speak back in some way like that, or a hologram, you know.
This is why I went through this lecture, okay? I'm not sure if you can call it a lecture. There's mechatronics and there's AI.
Yeah.
Right? AI is, does the robot know what it is supposed to do to make you happy?
Right.
Mechatronics is, can we take that information and actually act it out?
Okay.
So those are two separate problems.
Yeah, so it's a combination of two.
In terms of AI, I would say that if it's just text, right, if it knows what words to say, if it's just text, we kind of already have that.
Okay.
If it's voice of speech, less so. If it's 3D imaging, less so.
Okay.
But that's going to advance relatively quickly, and it's going to advance faster the more data you give it.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought. So I've told a lot of guys, I say, look, maybe kind of hold off on the robot thing that you guys want and be thankful that you're going to live in an age where VR and hologram stuff or even augmented reality might serve as a good enough, you know, like they're saying, it's not a robot, but it's good enough. And that's what I really want these guys to have, because there's a lot of guys out there, especially in this damn incel community that I'm getting sick and tired of hearing about, that would probably be okay if they just had some, like with the Japanese, the 10,000 Japanese, or I think it's 10,000 Japanese men that have married holograms and things like that. I think, that would probably help these guys out a little bit. And that's what I'm looking
for. Or like Kajiwara with proper funding.
Right.
And a lot, like Kajiwara, you threw a lot of money at it.
Yeah.
And a lot of data.
Yeah.
and some good engineers, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what they need.
So, but there are also people that want that physical presence. I think TFM's got an interesting approach to it where he gets both of them, but he doesn't really try to combine them. Mm-hmm. Or he sort of, I wish he would put a bit more effort into combining them, like putting a Bluetooth speaker into, like, you know, giving her like a pocket and just putting a Bluetooth speaker into the pocket. And now it sounds like the voice is coming from the doll. Right? You could do weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or like easy stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, what so, is that? But I mean, like TFM says, Celestina has several different forms. Like it has the digital form, the right. doll form, the other form. And I think that's what a lot of guys are going to do. Because like if I have mine, I'll have a hologram version. I'll have a VR version. You have an augmented reality version. I think one thing will happen if this VR tech, assuming this is real, if this actually gets off the ground to where people can literally put on a pair of glasses, I don't see why they wouldn't be bringing them with them to work and bringing them with everywhere. I mean, they would just literally have it where if you want to speak to your whatever augmented waifu girlfriend, you push a button and you say, hey, you know, and of course it would recognize your, I mean, they'll get to that point where they can recognize you and stuff like that, you know, just like the little ones that they have. There's a Japanese one, I think it's from, I can't remember the name of the anime. If Hoshioni was here, he would know. But basically, there was an anime, it was an isekai anime, but they had this one character, I think she was a magic girl, and it was very good in the way that you'd interact with it. Of course, they wanted to nickel and dime you every time, but you could, you know, tap it and play with it and all that kind of stuff, and it would respond. And that's what I'm saying they could probably start doing with augmented reality, I mean, eventually, because they do say there's a lot of money in that. I mean, I think we will be probably seeing that, because I do think that maybe getting people stopping them from looking down at their phones and maybe giving them glasses where they can have all that stuff on one lens and maybe something else on the other lens and actually look at the world would probably be a good thing in hindsight. And also,
I would say the physics don't work that way. The physics don't quite work that way.
No, they don't? Okay.
You could make one eye virtual reality and the other eye the physical world. It would be pretty disorienting.
Oh,
but,
sure.
I would say this. The augmented reality you're describing, where you have, that takes the place of mechatronics,
okay.
right? Because the AI determines what the avatar does, and it also determines how much information it can interact with. But then the augmented reality, it's not physical, but you can kind of call it physical in the sense that, like, can you place this avatar in the correct spot in the physical world? And can you also create this, like, 3D map of the physical world so she isn't, like, clipping through a table or something?
Right. I mean, I'm sure you're going to have issues like that, especially in the beginning. But, you know, I mean, just seeing that on the screen will probably be enough for people. And I'm not just saying it'll be a waifu. I'm saying, you know, I mean, how far do you think technology will come where we can take, say you have a femme cell and she wants, I don't know, Jason Momoa. So she takes Jason Momoa, they scan the image of Jason Momoa, and then of course you have an augmented reality version that, you know, pops on her headset. And she's sitting there with Jason Momoa. Now, not for real, but when she looks over at the couch, he's sitting there. You know, it's not going to be perfect. Maybe he'll be a little bit up off the ground because, yeah, it's going to be really hard to find the placement of where he would need to sit because the program's not going to know where he would have to be. It would just make him as being, oh, he's in a sitting position. So, you know, people will have
to... Not necessarily.
Really?
I'm going to start talking. Jason Momoa would be a good choice if you could get around the copyright issue because he's an actor and therefore there's plenty of data of him to go around.
Sure.
Right. Plenty of video data. So that would be nice because you would have actual footage of Jason Momoa doing all these forms. In terms of being able to identify catch, remember what I said. You can take two cameras, put them right next to each other. You can even scan an image and you can create a 3D map of your surroundings. So this computer will be able to determine spots. It will be able to create a 3D map and then put this Jason Momoa in this 3D map.
Wow. So they would literally...
And project it in the correct place.
That's
crazy. With our current technology, if you had enough money and you hired enough engineers, and maybe you pay Jason Momoa a ton of money to act out the poses in which they didn't show him acting in movies. You know, you could do it.
Wow. That's really,
you can make this.
That's really not much to ask for. I mean, because there's a lot, we have to realize there's a lot of tech billionaires out there with nothing but time on their hands. So, I mean, something like this is just a reality. I mean, they've projected, I mean, you know, projections are one thing, but they've projected that VR alone is worth will be worth $5 billion in 2021 and $12 billion by 2024. That's how much they're projecting, at least the virtual reality will be worth. So I think a lot of this stuff is just right around the corner, especially we've got this loneliness generation. They said we're the only generation in history that has more single people than any other generation in the world. I'm not saying that people are lonely, oh, woe is me, but I'm saying that, yeah, some people do want some company. And, I mean, as you get older, you might want more. I mean, it depends. Older people sometimes like to have that. Maybe virtual pets, a lot of different things. So, I mean, I see no issue with the
voice style, but instead of a Pokemon, it's like a boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, I see nothing wrong with that. I think it could help people. I mean, there's a lot of people with depression and things like that, and sometimes stuff like this can get them out of that funk. So I'm all for it, because I see a lot of these guys in these anime freaking groups that talk about, oh, I want this waifu so bad, I want this waifu so bad. Of course, you know, they switch them off every season. Oh, I don't care about this one anymore. But, I mean, hell, there's a gold mine in the money. I mean, you every time there's a new one that comes out, you just put a new... Here's your waifu. You can push a button and talk to her. And, oh, okay, we've got the new season. I mean, they get a business on this. They'd be making so much money, the VTubers would be put out of it.
I feel like the VTubers would be the first people that would be, like, put up as models.
Yeah,
because you can get a lot of data. Yeah. They have a lot of data about them talking. Because if you think about it, unlike a movie, right? With the movie, the actors are doing specific things, right? With the VTuber, they just constantly have this stream going, like a live stream just constantly. There's so much data on them.
Well, there is a danger there, because, I mean, imagine this. You know, right now we have YouTube people going on the VTubers and giving them all kinds of money. Well, imagine if this goes into a more augmented virtual set to where there's one VTuber and now they're physically in the room. You know what I mean physically. I mean, they can see them. It's not a screen anymore. They're actually looking at the person right there in front of them. And they're like, oh, if you want to keep seeing me, you'll have to pay me money. That could be even worse than what we have now. Now, for them, it'd be good, but, I mean, if you know anything about the simping epidemic, that would probably make things 10 times worse, because, of course, if you've got a lonely guy that wants this VTuber so bad, he's probably going to give his mortgage and everything else. Oh, but she's right here with me. So,
well, it depends.
Yeah.
It depends. If this, what you're describing is, like, in order to pay money, you need to have scarcity, right? These VTubers have scarcity because there's only one actor.
Right.
Right? But if you were to feed them into an AI and the AI is deciding what they do, then you don't actually need that specific VTuber.
Right.
Right? You can kind of, like, buy or pirate the VTuber.
Yeah, you can. That's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. I know people are going to
start. Right. Like, I know they do that with a lot of Chinese VTubers, where it's not one specific actor. It's, like, different actors.
I didn't even know.
So there isn't any scarcity of that particular VTuber.
Wow.
Right.
Okay, that's interesting.
And if you replace the actor, right, if you replace a human with an AI, then it's like, then you just have this giant influx of supply.
Yeah, exactly. That would put a lot of...
I disagree that it would result in more simping. I would say that if you can convert it into an AI that doesn't require a human behind it, then it basically becomes the virtual version of a silicon doll.
Yeah, see, I see. That's the future I'm seeing, honestly. I mean, that's what I'm seeing. And, yeah. I mean, I love the doll idea. I mean, but I haven't paid attention to mine for a couple of months. I mean, you know, the heaviness and all the other things that you have to deal with, you know. I've got a bad back, you know. And, I mean, my back was a little better, you know, a couple of years ago. But as you get older, your back gets worse, things like that. So I would be more willing to have a virtual... You know, just something I can turn on a little bit, interact with before I go to bed. You know, and just, okay, boom, put my glasses up and go to bed. Something like that.
By the way, it's 12:15, so I don't know what that means for you.
Oh.
I guess we'll keep going if you want.
Oh, we can go for another 10. Let me see if anybody has any questions here. Hey, if you guys get any questions that you want Revy to answer, I noticed there's some people here in the... I knew they would come in eventually. It takes some people a while. But if you have anything you want to ask Revy, go ahead and do it now. Okay, so Whiplash the Apex Gamer just says, hot damn, Will Smith got friend-zoned by a literal robot. Yeah, it's funny. And Whiplash also says, actual holograms? Yes, we're talking about actual holograms here. But if anybody has any questions, you know, now is the time. Go ahead and type them in the interview chat channel. So if you have anything... I'm just going to give people some time to go ahead and anything you want, you know. And, of course, we'll talk next time about your... You want to teach guys how to run a business and be self-sufficient and stuff, which I am definitely down for. So whenever you want
to... It sounds like how to get a job in robotics will be for next time.
Okay.
How to get a job in robotics if you are either, like, young and you haven't gone to college yet, I can tell you the easiest way to basically, like... shortcut your way through the academic system. But if you don't like academic, I can also talk about how other people I've seen manage to get through manage to get jobs as design engineers on robotics, which is like basically the highest level of like robotic engineer you have, because there's also like technicians and people that maintain robots, but design engineers, I've seen people get design engineers that don't even have degrees, which I think might be more attractive than McDowell.
Absolutely.
Because I went through the academia, like I have all the degrees. I have all the college degrees.
And there's people doing this.
There's ways to do it. I've seen people do it without the college degrees.
Might want to look into that. You never know. I mean, well, you said that particularly young guys. I mean, me and DP, I mean, I'm close to 40 and he is 40. So I don't know 40. We're probably just a little too older. But if you're younger guys, definitely try. Want to listen to that. And learn how to get into robotics. But Invader Tech has a question for you. He says, are you developing other toys besides the spinning robot pussy that you can talk about?
In terms of the products I have, the SRP is the main one. Discontinue the wireless, discontinue the smart controller. There's the Follow Me Eyes. I am working on some waifu shoes, and those are basically hard. They're more like socks. Think of them as hard socks, and they would go on her feet, and they protect her toes. And the top of her foot, you can move her foot around without damaging the silicone. And you can also just put her in shoes. Because that was a problem I had, where her feet, her toes were super flimsy, and I didn't like the fact that if I tried to put her in shoes, like her toes would just jam up in there. So I'm working on that product. Actually, no, is that product... I still need to wait for TFM to review that product.
Okay.
I developed a waifu goo, which is basically a lube that's halfway in between. It's basically like a thicker version of mineral oil, because people use mineral oil as lubricant for their dolls and also as lubricant for the SRP, but people were complaining that was too thin, so I made a thicker version of that.
Oh, wow.
And I sell that on my site right now. I made an adapter so you can use the SRP for non-compatible dolls. That's another product I've recently released.
Cool.
For long-term doll stuff, I have some ideas, but so far I'm not pulling the trigger on any of them.
Oh, yeah.
One of them is an SRP that is integrated into the doll at the time of manufacture. So this would be a fully integrated SRP, not one that you would take the replacement of an insert. This would be an insert that would be bolted into a skeleton, and then the silicone will be molded around the insert.
Boy, I bet Phil was interested in something like that.
Yeah. That is basically the ultimate evolution of the SRP.
That's great.
But that's a fairly large project, and I don't think I am going to have the time to pursue that. So if anyone else wants to pursue it, I can give you all my drawings, and I can give you all my CADs. I'll just give it to you, and you can profit off it. I don't care.
That's great.
Because I don't think I'm going to pursue it myself.
Yeah, hey, if any of you listening, and I know the commenters, I read every single comment. So if any of you like, I'm interested, give me your information, and I'll go ahead and send you over to Revy. You have to be on Discord, or I'll just give you the email. And you can go ahead and get that information.
.home@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah, that'll work. Go ahead and say that one more time.
Yeah, it's Revy. @home, revy.at.home@gmail.com.
And for those that are...
It's also...
Well, I was going to say...
It's also on spinningrobotpussy.com. My email's everywhere.
Okay. But for those that are not aware, like, you know, the spelling... I'll have the spelling, of course, on the video, but it's R-E-V-Y. Just to make sure they know that. Okay, there's some more questions. Would you recommend...
So if you... going on that, if you want, if you're interested in running a company, I am trying to get out of the business because I have other projects I want to work on. So if you want to take over the company, we can see how that was going to work. I might sell you the company or I might just hand it over. I don't know about that yet. And if you have ideas for, if you're an engineer or something and you want ideas on how to do sex and stuff, I have many ideas I can just give you. If you're willing to do the work, you know, it's yours. I don't care.
That's great. I'm sure there'll be a lot of guys, hopefully here on either MGTOW.TV, BitChute, and even YouTube, because I'm putting this on all. So if any of you guys, you know, message me, let me know. Or Revy at, your email address.
Revy at home at gmail.com.
Yeah, Revy at home at gmail.com. Gotcha. Okay. Now, Whiplash has a question for you. He says, would you recommend going to technical school or college degrees?
Yes. See, that was the thing I was going to talk about when you asked how to get into robotics, right? So that would depend on, I've seen people do it both ways. I've seen one person, I know one person, he started off at a technical school, and then he shifted that into a college degree, a bachelor's degree. And then got a master's, and then he's going to be pursuing a PhD, I think, in robotics. So I've seen people shift from technical into college degree. Most of the people I know have college degrees. I've also, as many mechanical engineers I know, they start off as machinists. So they are machinists by trade.
Okay.
So what they do is they learn to machine, and then after you learn to machine, you also learn how to CAD, right? So you have the manufacturing part of it, and you have the design part of it. So the thing that machinists don't know how to do is they don't know how to design, or maybe they don't put that much effort into design. If you design stuff, then you can call yourself an engineer. And if you're a machinist that learns how to design, you're going to be the best mechanical engineer because you're going to actually know how to manufacture the parts that you design yourself. And not only that, you can actually manufacture the parts that you design. And therefore, the best mechanical engineers that I have ever, all the best mechanical engineers that I've worked with, I shouldn't say all, but the most practical engineers that I have worked with, mechanical engineers, and we're talking on robotics here, they have all been tradesmen. They have all been machinists in a past life, and then they just learned to CAD.
Okay.
So the best mechanical engineers I know don't have mechanical engineering degrees.
Wow, that's very interesting.
They have... they're machinists.
Now, Invader Tech, he has one thing to say, and I think that's it. I think that's all everybody has to say, but after that, we'll end. But Invader Tech says, modular SRP is probably better anyway, considering it'd be easier to repair or replace. And Whiplash is typing. He has one more thing to say. Yeah. So we're gonna wait
on the fully integrated. The fully integrated SRP will have a permanent shell, but you'll still be able to remove the SRP so you can maintain it. I've thought through that.
Okay.
All right. I just don't have the money to pursue it or the time.
Okay. Whiplash just says, thank you very much. That was incredibly helpful information, Revy.
Was that the question about how to get into robotics as either a trade or a college degree?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to go through that in a lot more detail, perhaps in a future interview, unless you want to do it now, but I don't think we have the time for that.
No.
About
we'll do that.
How...
We'll do that, how about next month?
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Okay.
perhaps we can... I would appreciate it if we tried to get most of this done, all these interviews done by August.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can have you on monthly.
Get way more busy by then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can have you on monthly, so that's
how
no
many
problem.
Interviews?
Yeah, how many actually do you want to cover on all this, or how long would it take to cover all this information? About 3, 4, 5?
Because you're going to have to do more than one a month if you're trying to...
Yeah, if we've got a lot of information we need to cover and get this information out there...
We definitely were operating at half the speed I thought we were going to go. So we covered what robotics is and basically how to not be an idiot when you're reading robotics stuff. I also want to talk about how to get into robotics. So that would mean if you don't want to go to college, right, or if you don't have a college degree, or you don't have a relevant college degree, but you want to get into robotics without going to college, how to do that.
Okay.
And also, if you are young and you are going, you want to go to college, you want to go into the shithole known as post-secondary education, which is what I did, what is the best path? I can tell you some shortcuts that I took, because I basically backdoored it into everything.
Okay.
And so I can teach you all the backdoor skills you need to do, and there are backdoors that will basically make affirmative action mean nothing. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I will teach you the fun of academia, if you're willing to go into post-secondary education, which I know a lot of MGTOW aren't willing to do. So there's that. And then, let's say you have technical skills, right? So let's say that you become either a mechanical engineer, or you become a high-level software engineer or something. You have some kind of skill that's valued, right? And then, so you can probably get employment as that, as a W-2 employee, but there are certain advantages to becoming a contractor, to getting paid by a 1099. You can join the 1099 master race. And that has many benefits, especially for MGTOW. It gives you much more freedom, much more, you can pay fewer taxes. There are many advantages to that. And then from there, if you want to create a startup, which is high risk.
Right.
If you want to create a startup for something like Revy Innovations, where you create a physical product and then you try to sell it, I can go over that. Those are the processes you need to do. So that would be both. That would be both like how you would do it, what order you would do it, right? And also what legal documents you'll need. It's not that difficult.
Okay.
I mean, I did all this stuff and I'm still in my 20s, so.
Okay, so, we'll go ahead and we'll do more interviews. We'll talk about this, later on, but, just drop me an email. Let me know, if you want to drop by and do an interview on one of the shows, because we do a show every Monday regardless. If you want to do a show on a different day, let me know that too, because there are other days.
We have a series where we do it every week.
If there's a lot, we could have you on. I mean, obviously, we actually have some guests for this week, next week, and the other week after. But, I mean, after that, if you want to go on, what would be the third week of June, we could probably do that. And we can just have you on, until you get all that information. It's no problem. And I'm sure guys can learn a lot. It can be very helpful information, which is what they need to be talking about, other than how crazy these girls are. I mean, that's all I hear about in MGTOW is, oh, these women are so whatever. Okay, so what are you doing about it? What are you doing to change your situation? And that's the kind of information that you can give somebody to help them out, where they're not focusing on the women and the vagina, and they're focusing on something that can actually make them, successful and, do everything that I guess men going their own way should be doing.
But sneak peek into the whole 1099 thing. You can avoid most affirmative action type stuff by going the 1099 route.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Employee trainings and all that, you can just bypass all of it.
All right. And that's something that, that they definitely want to know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Because even if you don't get married, there's still stuff that bothers you. Right.
Oh, yeah. But, thanks for coming on, and we do appreciate it, and it was a great interview. I learned a lot about things that I've been looking into, and I'm really glad. I'm very optimistic now. You've given me a lot of information that I wasn't sure if it was going to work, but the way you've put it out and described it, and, I've basically figured it out in my mind, there's very good chance that a lot of the things that I personally want to happen seem like they very well, it'll be a while, but they'll happen. And I think that's good. Yep. So that's good for me. That should be good for some of you guys in the waifu life-u. Or even if you're not. Maybe you're in that CG stuff, which I seem to like a little more than the waifu. I really got into that. So, that'll work for me. I can see myself as 50, 60 years old with some virtual... I mean, that works for me. Every man's different. Every man has their own thing. But, Again, thank you so much. And I guess we're going to be out of here because we've got an article show to do just after this. Oh, so, yeah, you need to get up and get ready because, we got some...
I'll get there.
I know. But we appreciate it, man.
I can definitely do a couple more on the future of robotics and all that.
Yeah,
it was really, really good. Interesting.
Very good stuff. All right, man. So we'll see you later. And this will be the Grim Lord and Dead Penetration. And we are out of here on Grim Interviews.